Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Steve Bailey with you, counting you down to Indians baseball tonight at 6:35. The Tribe will play host to the Kansas City Royals down at Progressive Field. First pitch at 7:10. Hey, next Saturday, the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame will induct their 2018 class at German's Villa. And we have started this series of speaking with all of our Lorain Sports Hall of Fame inductees. And the next one up on our list, we've got Dan King joining us right now. Dan, thank you so much for the time and congratulations on being inducted. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks so much.
Well, Dan and I were sharing some Bowling Green memories before we kicked the recorder into high gear here and went on about the conversation. But, you know, Dan, I want to first start with the whole process of finding out that you were being inducted. I mean, everybody's got a different story about where they were, how they reacted, when they found out. Take us through that process, if you could, and paint the picture for us about how you found out you were being inducted.
Well, I was sitting at home, and I think we were just watching something on TV, and my dad called, and I was like, all right, this will be a half hour, so pause the TV, because my dad likes to talk a lot. And it was like short and sweet. He said, hey, just wanted to let you know you're going to be in the 2018 class, and congrats, and I'll get in touch with you over the next couple of weeks, and we'll figure out, you know, tickets and who's coming, and, you know, kind of just help you through the process. So it was kind of, it was shocking, and it was good that I got to hear it from my dad.
Now, everybody's got a different way of approaching this. Was this something that kind of came out of left field for you, or is this something that in the back of your mind you were kind of sort of expecting?
You know, with my dad being on some of the committees there for the Hall of Fame, it was something that I've always wanted to do. But from my understanding and then going through the process, somebody, typically a family member, has to put you up. So they have to fill out the paperwork. And my wife filled out the paperwork. She didn't tell me, and she submitted it. And then when I finally got the phone call from my dad, I was like, why didn't you tell me? I could have helped you. We could have made the application a little bit better. And she just laughed at me.
Well, somebody has to nominate you and put that paperwork together. Right now, your wife was kind enough to do it for you. And, well, I tell you what, reading the biographical information that was provided to me, if your wife had anything to do with that, she presented a very, very interesting case because you had quite the high school career. And, of course, you went on to play football at the Division I level at Bowling Green as well. So you've had quite the college career as well. I want to start with your football career. And I want to go all the way back to 1991. If you can, walk us through this process. Because at the time, you found out that the Lorain School District was going to suspend sports programs because of some financial constraints. Tell us how you addressed that and how you ended up at St. Ed's.
Well, I was in eighth grade. My dad came to me. He was the head coach of Lorain High at the time. And he's like, hey, we're not going to have football next year, so we got to find you a school. And I said, okay. I said, I'll go to Lorain Catholic with all my buddies. And he goes, no. He goes, jump in the truck. We're going to take a ride. We drove out to St. Ed's, and he goes, this is where I think you should go to school. And I went, this is, like, so far away from home. And he goes, no, we're fine. And I took the placement test that day. I got in. And heck, I didn't even know it was all boys until the first day of school. I was sitting in the cafeteria. A bunch of guys were walking in. I finally asked one of the football guys and said, where's all the girls at? He goes, this is all boys.
So how long did it take you to kind of get used to that? I mean, that's really kind of an eye-opener, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, to me, it took like a week. I mean, because as soon as school is over, you know, you have tons of girls from Joe's and Mag's that show up in the parking lot for whether it's band practice or some other kind of practice that they have there, cheerleading practice. So you're always seeing them, and then all the dances are with all the girls. So, I mean, I guess it was great because I didn't have to worry about girls and, you know, kind of trying to be that big guy on campus in class because there's no girls there to impress. It was just you and a bunch of other dudes.
Dan King is being inducted into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame 1 week from tomorrow on May 19th at German's Villa, and he's joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. As you look back at your high school football career, I mean, there are just so many accolades. You had a remarkable career. Are there some moments that stand out to you over your career at St. Ed's?
I mean, the biggest one in football would have been my first kickoff. When I was a freshman, I was the kicker for the varsity team. And I want to say we were playing at Niles McKinley. And I was supposed to kick off and break the wedge at the same time. And, you know, being a freshman, varsity football game, I didn't know what to expect. I kicked that ball off, ran down the field, and that wedge opened. And I flew through there like I was going to just kill somebody and totally whiffed and flew right into the end zone on my stomach. It was, everybody laughed except for me, but that's one kind of good moment that was funny. And then I remember my senior year, we were playing Padua. We were like, I don't know, fourth and goal, maybe on like the 7, and Coach McQuaid called a timeout, came out, was asking our quarterback what play to call, and I just said, whatever you call, just throw me the ball. I'll make sure we get in the end zone. And it happened, got in the end zone, we won. So those two are just kind of highlights that I remember off the top of my head from playing football at St. Ed's.
The wedge breaker story is fantastic. The fact that you ended up on your stomach in the end zone, and that's kind of like your introduction to varsity football. That is a story for the ages. That's great stuff. Great stuff. Well, it also states here that to support your football training, you participated in wrestling. And I read that and I think, boy, that's interesting, given the school that you went to, because St. Ed's isn't the kind of school where you kind of do wrestling as something to stay in shape, because of all the success that St. Ed's has had historically in wrestling, and you went on to have a very successful wrestling career as well.
Yeah, I was going to play basketball at Lorraine High. I was going to follow in my dad's footsteps. I was going to play football, and then I was going to play basketball and baseball. And I remember Coach Urbis, who's still the head coach today at Ed's, he looked at me on the football field and said, well, you're going to wrestle this year, right? And I didn't want to kind of make my coach mad. I said, no, I'm going to wrestle. I said, I'm not going to play basketball. So I went out and wrestled. And, I mean, to me, I'm going to say this, but it doesn't – I hated wrestling because I couldn't stand practice because it was so hard. But I loved wrestling at the same time, because when it came to a match or a meet or a tournament, it was you versus that guy. And it was win or go home. You know, it was all up to you. And that was the part of wrestling I loved. Couldn't stand practice because it was so hard there. And that's the reason why they're so good, is because the practice is so hard.
Yeah, and look, I don't think I've spoken to a single wrestler who's told me that they thoroughly enjoy practice. Look, practice is tough for wrestling. Wrestling guys are in great shape, and it's the kind of sport, I think, that those from the outside looking in don't totally understand how difficult that really is. It's a grind. There's no question about that. It is an absolute grind. And to get around to the third sport that you certainly excelled at as well, you performed as an independent in powerlifting. It seems like kind of a natural fit, because you were as good as you were at football and in wrestling also, but how did you take up powerlifting competitively?
Well, my dad said that, you know, you got to start lifting, and I think it was maybe like fifth or sixth grade. I said, okay, I'll start lifting. I go, but where are we going to go? And he goes, we're going to go over to Corey Cunningham's house. And I said, I don't know who you're talking about. So I just assumed it was one of his friends, and I ended up finding out who Corey was. And he had a little gym in his garage. So for a year or two, we trained 4 days a week in his garage. And we just lifted. And we, you know, went to a few powerlifting meets here and there. And the more he grew with guys coming in from, you know, like word of mouth for myself, telling my fellow friends and friends from other schools, hey, this guy's legit, man. We're in here lifting and getting things, you know, done. And all of a sudden, I think him and Vince Villanucci opened up a gym in over on Levitt Road, just past Levitt Homes. There's a little shopping plaza over there. And we were there for 2 or 3 years. Then he went to Aquamarine. So, I mean, I followed him wherever he went, because for weightlifting, he was the best around, and he was also a BG guy. So I was like, he can't go wrong. You know, it's BG. Now I say it's a BG guy. I didn't know that back then. But you know what? He treated us like we were his own kids. and he didn't have any kids, and he treated us like we were his kids. And, you know, that meant a lot, and it made us want to work hard for him.
Well, you mentioned Bowling Green, and of course, if anybody that's a BG guy or a BG girl, you can't go wrong with somebody that can proudly shout Isaac Izumba. You were recruited and then went on to play for Coach Gary Blackney and the Bowling Green Falcons. Give us a taste as to what that recruiting process was like and how you ended up at Bowling Green.
Well, I was recruited and I was offered by Oklahoma, Louisville, West Virginia, Toledo, and Bowling Green. And I want to say the Air Force also, if my memory serves me right. And I didn't know where I wanted to go. I talked to everybody. Some of the bigger schools said, you're too small, you're too short. But, you know, I went on my little visit to Bowling Green. I met with Cal Bowers and Greg Sipek, who were the senior captains that year. And, you know, they took me out. I had a great time. You know, I was like, you know what, this is big enough for me. It's a big campus where I can walk from one end to the other in less than 10 minutes. My dorm room is either going to be A or B, and they're within 5 minutes from any place on campus that I have to go. And it was a short walk to the football stadium, which I knew I had to go there almost every day. So I was like, you know what, this is great. I felt at home. It was still Division I football. And I said, you know what, let's do this. And that's how I ended up picking there instead of the other places that were just, to me, they were too far away from home. I wanted to stay closer to home.
And not to mention, you got to enjoy Miles Pizza, Campus Poly Eyes, and all the other fine hot spots that Bowling Green has to offer. And before we cut you loose here, I'm sure that a week or so ago you were telling me off air about this. It had to be a really cool moment for you when your son graduated from Bowling Green.
Oh yeah, he graduated last Friday, and it was, you know, watching him sit down there, and you know, he kept telling me, I don't want to be here. Why do I gotta walk? You didn't walk when you were in college. And I was like, yeah, I said, it's a different time. I said, and your mom is your mom, and if you don't walk, you're gonna have to put up with her. It was cool. It was very rewarding to see, you know, because when I was, I think, so my son's 22, I'm 41. So you can see I kind of had him pretty early in life, and I'm really glad now that I truly went to Bowling Green to be so close to home, to see that success of him, you know, from having young parents, to see him succeed and be done in 4 years. That's probably one of my biggest, well, I can't say my own accomplishment, because the mom, Jen, had more to say than I did, but that was a huge deal for us.
Very, very cool stuff. Well, Dan, this was awesome. This was a heck of a lot of fun. We certainly appreciate the time. Congratulations again on being inducted into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame, and have some fun at German's Villa 1 week from this coming Saturday.
Thank you so much. We sure will.
Thank you very much. Again, that's Dan King. He's being inducted into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame 1 week from tomorrow, as a matter of fact, Saturday, May 19th at German's Villa. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Steve Bailey and I will return with more after this on AM 930 WEOL.